Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio Land, this is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show, and I'm known as Brilliant Ideas, and welcome to another fun-filled Saturday of music, food, friends, and all kinds of crazy stuff. We welcome you, and as you can see this week, we have a big show lined up. We have, first of all, coming on in about 15 minutes, a lady that I met on Kickstarter. You know that's one of my favorite spots to go look for folks. The lady's developing a North Carolina barbecue map on a Kickstarter project, and very interesting concept, kind of like the idea, so she'll be joining us. Also, we have Anne of Green Gardens joining us, and Anne will be joining us to talk about, of course, gardening. And we then, last but not least, have our good buddy Nick Moss from the Nick Moss Band who will be joining us. He's coming out with another CD, his 10th one, and if you like rhythm and blues, this guy is the man. So that's our lineup this week, so stay with us for the next hour and a half, and we will be hopefully entertaining you, and maybe you'll learn something, a few laughs, et cetera. And speaking of laughs, we've got our wine czar, Brian, calling in. Hey, Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Grill Man. How are you? It's beautiful out. I'm standing outside, and the sun is shining, and it's like a no-coat day. So I'm looking forward to a good show.
All right. Same here. Thank you for joining us. And hang on, because we got the Food News Jersey-style girl calling in, Laurie from New Jersey. Good morning, Laurie.
Well, good morning, and I'm with Brian. It's a beautiful day today, and I didn't even have to wear a jacket. I was running around without a coat.
And I haven't been outside because I'm lazy and not.
Well, you'll get out there to grill at least.
Yes. Well, actually, speaking of that, that's a good segue. I am actually going to be grilling some boneless breasts. I'm going to call these hot, spicy breasts, not hot wings or hot sides, but hot, spicy breasts. I'm going to be doing those on the Big Green Egg tomorrow. I've got them marinating. What do I have them marinating
in, Laurie?
Your coffee? Yes. Coffee and all kinds of spices. And since Laurie's not here, I can spice them
all.
Oh,
don't even say that.
I know. Oh, well.
It's I'm missing my baby.
Hey, I miss you too, Laurie. That's why I'm glad Grill asked me to call in.
I miss you, Brian, my BMF.
And speaking of Big Green Egg, I think that's a great way to segue into their ad, because that's what I should do since they do help sponsor our radio show, so hang on a second.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, as the man says, go get yourself a Big Green Egg at biggreenegg.com, and you can find a dealer near you, and I'll be throwing those hot, spicy breasts on the Big Green Egg tomorrow, and they're going to be good. Lari, sorry you're going to miss them, but that's the way it goes.
Rub it in.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, what did I tell you many times about this show? This is a PG-rated show, family show, and you're talking about hot, spicy breasts. I mean, come on.
Well, only you would think that. They're chicken breasts, Brian.
Yeah.
For God's sake, they're chicken breasts. Anyway, so Lari, do you have any food news you'd like to share with us since you are the food news girl?
I have a nice story. It's a little long. Do I have a couple minutes to talk about it?
You have a total of 9 to 10 minutes. And by the way, before you do your story, there's a possibility.
I was expecting you to cut me off anyway, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's normal. There's a possibility that we may not have one of our guests. I've just been informed. Hold on a second.
Oh, no.
In fact, they're texting me. Let me look. It looks like they may not be on our show. But if Anne of Green Gardens does not show up, then guess who's calling in? Sunblessed, actually the brains behind the show. Sunblessed Carol will be calling in to give us an update on the farmers markets in Modesto and et cetera. So either we're going to be talking about gardening or farmers markets, but I guess they're all related. So anyway, sorry to interrupt you, but you can go ahead with your story.
No, that's exciting news. Oh, yes, we love our Sunblessed. She's like the sweetest person on earth. Oh,
you know
what?
I don't think I've ever talked to her, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be interesting, and she's nervous. You know, she's behind the scenes. She's, like I said, the brains of the show, but she doesn't like to come
she
on the radio. She was giving me all kinds of excuses. I said earlier, she said, "Well, my phone's not good." I said, "So? She said, "Well, I don't really talk
to
her.
Well, we're all here to support her.
Neither do we.
Look,
neither do we.
I'm sure she's listening right now. So if I can get on the radio, then you can get on the radio.
That's the truth.
Exactly.
You hear that,
well, she's got all of us to chime in, so she'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right, Lari, now that I've wasted some of your time, you've got 8.5 minutes.
Okay, well, you guys can just interrupt and, you know, like you're going to do and throw me under the bus, but here we go. This is interesting because it's true. 7 foods that were supposed – oh, you know what? You guys are banging. Do you hear banging?
No.
It's my. No, I have a little sparkly barrette in my hair, and I'm just thinking I think
no,
it's banging.
No, we don't hear it. Go ahead.
Okay. 7 foods that were supposed to be incredibly unhealthy, but are actually anything but. We were warned by experts to avoid these edibles at all costs. Turns out the experts were wrong. It says, we were left to figure out which of the food headlines we should take to heart and which should be taken with a grain of unrefined, mineral-rich sea salt. Low-fat or high-fat, high-protein or vegan. If you don't trust what your body tells you, remember that... Wait, I just lost my train of thought. Okay, remember that food science is ever-evolving. Case in point, I know. The 7 foods below
are ancient.
Have
you ever done this before?
Well, when you know,
anyway,
you know, when I scroll down, sometimes my finger hits it too fast, and then I lose my spot. You know, I use
know.
A mouse.
I have that same problem. I have that same problem.
I got
go
fast
ahead.
Fingers. You know, I'm from New Jersey. I'm like quick. Anyway, these 7 foods below are ancient, but they've gone from being considered healthy long ago to unhealthy within the last generation, and back to healthy again. We know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
By
number
the way,
one.
Speaking of that, wait a minute. Speaking of that, what is, I mean, what is that? Sometimes bacon's good for you, sometimes it's not. It's probably one of the items on your list, but sometimes bacon is good for you, sometimes it's not. It's just like it depends upon what day it is or what year it is.
What year it is,
so I guess,
yeah.
Are you going to tell us, is bacon one of the things on your list?
I'm going to read.
All right, I know. You Adam can't jump around.
Adam
you can't. I know you can't.
Yeah,
I can't,
I mean,
you can't improvise. You have to read, but go ahead.
Well, look at chocolate. Chocolate's bad, chocolate's not. Coconut oil. And I use this. My niece, Bridget, she uses this too. I swear by coconut oil. Okay, the old wisdom coconut oil is a saturated fat body balm that should be avoided. Coconut oil can cure what aids you. Talk about an about face. Coconut oil, the new wisdom says, it's good for our bodies inside and out. Studies across the blogosphere tell us that coconut oil is a wondrous beauty aid, and it is, which can and should be used as a moisturizer to reduce your lines and wrinkles. It's a moisturizer for your, I use it for my hair, for dry hair. It's a soap, and I didn't know this, coconut oil is a mouthwash. But if you think about it, they talk about coconut oil with the oil pulling.
That's what I was just going to say.
What is coconut? We see you guys get into oil pulling. What is the difference between coconut oil and coconut milk?
It's a good question.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Crickets. Well, somebody find that out.
No, my niece told me to use coconut oil for the bottom of my hair, and it makes it really shiny, and it does. Like, you put it in, and then, you know, you leave it in overnight, and it just makes it so shiny. But it's also so good. I put it under my eyes sometimes, and, you know, for like a night moisturizer.
Right.
Okay, here's your favorite, coffee. We all know this. The old wisdom was coffee equals caffeine equals bad for you. And now the new wisdom is coffee is loaded with antioxidants and other nutrients that improve your health. Plus, a little caffeine makes the world go around.
Yeah, and it's also great for a marinade, too.
Exactly. Yep. Well, you know what they were saying, too? Everyone knows that caffeine boosts your energy, and based on controlled human trials, it's been proven to fire up the neurons, make you sharper, improve memory, reaction time, your mood, general cognitive function, and it also boosts metabolism. It lowers risk of diabetes, Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's.
Can you imagine if they decided to come back and medically say that coffee's bad for you again? Can you imagine what that would do to Starbucks? Oh, my God.
I know. Yeah.
Anyway,
okay,
what's another one?
Whole milk, old wisdom, we know this. High fat milk leads to obesity. New wisdom, haha. That's what they wrote, haha. Meaning like it doesn't. A study at the Harvard University found that despite recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatrics, children that drink skim milk or low-fat milk after age 2, doing so did not make for leaner or healthier children. But in fact, the study found the opposite, that kids who consume skim milk were more likely to be heavier.
Really?
Isn't that weird? Yes. It turns out skim milk drinkers were more likely to indulge in the junk food, which spiked their blood sugar, leading to more cravings for junk, so on and so on.
Good God. Yeah. I grew up on whole milk when I was a baby. And
the milkman.
If I had been skim milk, can you imagine how big I would have been? Eating all those extra junk food?
I remember sitting on the little milk box waiting for the milkman to come.
Yeah, that's interesting because I actually recently had this discussion with my wife, and she said, I think we should start getting whole milk now because, you know, just what you said, and we've been drinking 2% milk. And I looked at the bottles, and they had exactly the same amount of it was not fat content but calories in the two, and I said, okay, so what's the difference? Why not drink the whole milk? You know, it's like the difference between people that think that margarine is better for you, but margarine and oil have all these, chemicals in them.
You know,
butter in moderation is so much better for you than using that garbage that, you know, they put in the margarine.
Yep.
Everything's better with lube on it.
All right. Okay. Here comes the salt. I knew this was going to be in here. I should have tested you guys and said, what do you think some of them would be? And then, but salt, of course, old wisdom, salt kills. It raises blood pressure, it causes hypertension, and it increases the risk of premature death. And the new wisdom is, of course, salt is essential to health. Too little salt can actually lead to premature death.
Interesting.
Here it
I don't use salt, as you know. I really don't use salt.
You don't.
I use pepper, but you're a big salt fanatic. You use salt, Brian?
Yeah, but I use sea salt.
I've
gotten away from the iodized salt because, you know, if you eat fish, you're going to get iodine anyway because it's there from the fish absorbing the salt in the sea. But the sea salt is a lot cleaner than salt that they've treated with more iodine. So I find it to be, you know, a lot healthier. Now, I do salt in moderation, though.
Okay. Well,
Lynn,
I've been
getting you to do a little bit.
That,
you've been adding.
What?
I'm sorry. You've been adding a little bit of sea salt. Even like now and then, you're like, it does need a little sea salt.
So
I did.
You're right. When I made soup the other day, sometimes when you make chicken stock and all that, and even when you put herbs and other stuff in it, sometimes you need a dash of salt. So yes,
a little
I agree. But I guess I try to stay away from it. I get enough salt from my
You really do. Though. You're very good. Yeah. And I like I said, you've gotten me actually to change too. I'm not much better. With the salt, anyway, very bad. With
well,
butter,
look at all the sports drinks that they have on the market. They all have salt because you need it. You have to have
it. Well, this is interesting.
Exactly.
It says Plato described it as dear to the gods, and then the Romans considered it the spice of life. Just only recently did salt become, you know, the bad guy at the dinner table. But then again, they turned it around because now they said, do you know that salt? I didn't know. Salt is an antihistamine, and a pinch of salt on your tongue may stem away allergic reactions. So if you have an allergic reaction somewhere and you put a pinch of salt on your tongue, supposedly it works.
Never heard that.
No, I didn't either. I know
Tito.
Plato.
What were you going to say?
I don't remember now. You interrupted all of us so many times.
Of course, I'm left. She won't survive when she calls in.
Oh, I know. Poor thing. Laurie, how many more of these? How many more of these bad, good food items do you have? Because
why,
our next guest
is calling.
Tic-tac?
Oh, yeah. Calling? Okay, look, the chocolate. I'll just do the old note. We know chocolate. Chocolate gives you pimples, makes you fat, and creates heartburn. That was the old wisdom. The new wisdom, chocolate is loaded with antioxidants. And then here comes popcorn. I wasn't expecting this. Popcorn, old wisdom, it was junk food, new wisdom. Popcorn is whole grain, and it's loaded with nutrients. And last but not least, bum, 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 eggs. I love eggs. Yep, old wisdom. Eggs clog your arteries, increase heart attacks, stroke, diabetes. New wisdom, nonsense, eggs are nearly the perfect food.
I like that they don't say anything that, you know, it actually helps you. They just say it's the perfect food.
Yes, it is.
Well, no,
I forgot to tell you guys, I made those chickens last week, you know, the threesome I had on the big green egg, and then I made a chicken sandwich last week, and then I put fried egg on top of it. And I
I was thinking,
well, you know, now which came first, the chicken or the egg? And I was eating both of them, so I didn't know how to answer the question. But
that sounds very Austrian. The Austrians love to put eggs, fried eggs on things. Yeah.
Oh, put it on chicken?
I'll find out. I guess I can let the cat out of the bag. I'll find out in a couple of weeks because I'll be in Austria.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You're going to Austria.
All expenses paid. Try wines.
Hey, is that where Selma
is? Yeah. The Tsar is going on a heavy-duty fact-finding tour.
Cool. All right. Now, that's where the Sound of Music was filmed, right, Laura?
Yes. Yeah.
My favorite movie. Next
that's
to
cool, Brian. So you'll be spinning around up in the mountains?
Well, yeah, pretty much so, I guess. The wine country in Austria is all to the east of the country, above and below Vienna. And, you know, once you get below Vienna, you're definitely in the Alps. So, I'm sure I'll be, I'll be doing a little mountain climbing. Not with my feet, though.
Tell Julie Andrews we said hello. I'm going to take a break, and we're going to bring on our first guest, which we're going to be talking about barbecue and the North Carolina barbecue map, the great North Carolina barbecue map. And I think this is a cool idea, by the way. I'm surprised no one's ever done this before. But we're going
and
to
I
have
love
our first guest.
North Carolina barbecue.
So do I. I mean, it's one of the best. I kind of grew up on it. So we're going to take a break, and I'm going to play a barbecue song just because that's a great segue to the next guest, and everybody hang tight, and we'll be talking about that barbecue map here in North Carolina in just one second. Be right back.
barbecue. Barbecue, fried beef and bread. Ribs and sausage and a cold big red. Barbecue makes old ones be young. Barbecue makes everybody someone. If you're feeling puny, you don't know what to do, treat yourself to some meat. Eat some barbecue. Now there was once this girl I knew. She treated me so mean. I offered her my barbecue. She licked my platter clean. Barbecue, sliced beef and bread. Ribs and sausage and a cold big red. Barbecue makes old ones be young. Barbecue makes everybody someone. If you're feeling puny, you don't know what to do, treat yourself to some meat. Eat some barbecue. Now don't give me no broccoli or any Swiss fondue. Baby, if you wanna rock me, barbecue, barbecue, sliced beef and bread, ribs and sausage and that cold big red. Barbecue makes old ones be young. Barbecue makes everybody someone. If you're feeling puny, you don't know what to do, treat yourself to some meat. Eat some barbecue.
Song, and was a good segue for our first guest coming on this morning, which is Amanda Eileen Fisher, which I mentioned in the promo that I found her on Kickstarter, and she's coming out with a North Carolina great barbecue map, and I want to welcome her to the show. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning. I love your idea. I was going through the Kickstarter list of food people, and I came across you, and you've got an idea that obviously is people are starting to support it, and I'm really surprised that no one's ever done this before, but you're making a great North Carolina barbecue map project, and I wanted to have you on to kind of tell people what you're working on and what your plans are for your project. So tell us a little bit about Amanda and how you got involved this whole thing.
Sure. Well, we definitely can't believe that nobody has come up with this idea yet either. It's something that we feel like we needed so many times, you know, trying to plan trips around the state. Paul and I, my partner on this, we travel a lot together, and we have always really loved working in barbecue restaurants to our road trips. But, you know, a lot of those places are really hard to find. They're on the back roads, and, you know, they're not necessarily listed in a guidebook or anything like that. And so this is going to be the most comprehensive guide. You know, there are some books and things like that out there already and websites and things like that, but nobody has all the places listed. So right now we have just over 300 places that we found, and we have just a few more things that we're going through. Yeah, it's crazy. Nobody can believe that there are that many out there.
That is amazing. So have you been to each and every one of them as you're going around? Are you actually checking each one out?
No, we haven't been able to go to each one yet. We feel like that's going to probably take some time to get around to all those. But we're definitely eating a lot of barbecue, though. I could not even imagine how many barbecue sandwiches we've eaten in the past year.
Well, it's really a great idea, and it's, you know, it's like one of those things where when you're in North Carolina, you know, North Carolina, I'd read a long time ago that barbecue in North Carolina is like a three-legged stool when it comes to politics. There's Democrats, Republicans, and there's barbecue. And so I know North Carolina is big in barbecue, and I just can't believe no one's done this. So how can people, once you publish this barbecue map, how will they be able to get it? Through your website? And are you going to be doing it like at the visitor centers in North Carolina, or have you thought that far out yet?
Yes, we've definitely thought about that, and yes to all those questions there. I mean, first of all, you know, people can go ahead and pre-order the map on Kickstarter right now, so that would be a great help to us so that we can, you know, have the funds to be able to actually, you know, do the project and get it out there to everybody. So, you know, you can just go to Kickstarter, support $9 or more, and get the map. Then after the Kickstarter campaign is over and we've distributed those maps out to all of our backers, then we will have the map available on our website. And we actually hope to get it into all or most of the barbecue restaurants in the state, as well as a lot of, you know, gift shops, kind of foodie-related shops, and welcome centers and things like that around the state.
Well, it's a great, great idea, and it's just like I said, something that I'm just surprised is not there. And, you know, if this thing takes off and it's a hit in North Carolina, you know there are 49 other states.
Oh, yeah, we're totally aware of that. We're ready to go.
If people want to find you, they can find you. I put your website here for Facebook, The Great Barbecue Map, and they can click on the link here. They can also find you on Kickstarter by punching in The Great Barbecue Map and go there and support you. And like you said, on the Kickstarter program, there's all kinds of levels that you can support. I think as low as a dollar up to, what's the highest amount that you've got on your project?
Our highest is $2,500, and that is for a barbecue tour around the Charlotte area for you and 21 of your friends. So we're going to be stopping at, you know, several different restaurants, probably four is what we think, in the kind of in Mecklenburg and Gaston County, and, you know, touring some pits and everything, eating a lot of barbecue along the way. And then that's going to also include some barbecue trivia and oral histories and all kinds of fun things once you're, you know, on the bus headed to all those stops.
Now, you're trying to raise how much money on the Kickstarter project?
Our goal is $10,000, and so that covers our, you know, the fee for the graphic designers. We're working with a really great team in Raleigh, North Carolina. They're called Good South, and they're known for some of their food packaging design. They do a lot of, you know, really cool southern themed stuff, and then that also covers our printing costs, you know, basic business startup costs as far as, you know, getting our accounting stuff ready and everything to filter all the funds in. And also, you know, Kickstarter and Amazon payments take a percentage, and then some of those rewards cost a little extra money too, so we've had to budget in for that.
Right. Now, hey, Brian, you're still with me, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
How much barbecue in North Carolina have you eaten?
I've eaten my fair share. We used to have friends that lived in Greenville, so there was a place, I think it was called Perkins, that we used to eat at a lot. Very, very family-style type place. Now, my question, and actually you brought up an interesting point, Brilliant. about the politics and everything is that is there really a division in as far as styles in North Carolina? Because I know, you know, you have your vinegar base, and then there are some that, that do something a little different. So I'm just curious to see how, you know, where the dividing line is.
Sure, absolutely. There are definitely two different styles in North Carolina, and that's one of the things we're going to be covering on the map through the map symbol. So there's Eastern style, and that is, you know, really where barbecue started here. And then we have what's called Piedmont style. It's also called Lexington style or Western. And basically the difference between those two sauces is, well, first, they're both vinegar-based and have red pepper, but your Piedmont or Lexington style sauce is going to have the addition of some type of tomatoes. So that's usually going to be in the form of ketchup. They're both still really thin sauces, though. It's not like, you know, the bottled sauce you see in the store, that really thick, really sweet kind of sauce that a lot of us think of when we think barbecue sauce. It's not like that. It's going to be a really thin, liquidy sauce.
Interesting. So,
you're not getting
away
from the sugar.
Sorry, what was that?
Brian, what was your question about sugar?
Oh, no. So I said, so basically all of North Carolina really tries to stay away from the, you know, the sauces with a lot of brown sugar in them and, you know, and, and thick tomato.
Sure, that's right. Now, obviously, you know, there are going to be those places that kind of do whatever they want. They're the rebels, and they'll just, you know, make whatever kind of barbecue they want. But the cool thing about the map, though, is on our with our map symbols, you'll be able to tell a lot of things like that just, you know, at a glance. So based on the color, you know, you'll be able to tell if it's Eastern style sauce, Piedmont style, or, you know, one of the other sauces. And you'll also be able to tell if the restaurant cooks whole hog, which is traditionally more of Eastern tradition, or if they use part of the pig, like shoulder, which is a little more, you know, toward the Piedmont and the western part of the state. And then also you'll be able to tell if they smoke the meat their traditional way.
Are you familiar with a barbecue place called Ralph's Barbecue in Weldon, North Carolina?
Ralph's in, what was the town again?
Weldon, or near Roanoke Rapids. Is that on your map?
That just might be. I'll have to double check. It's so hard to remember 350 names off the top of my head.
I actually didn't expect you to know or not. As a kid, I used to, I mean, literally, I think I grew up at Ralph's Barbecue. My parents had a place in North Carolina on Lake Gaston, and we used to stop at Ralph's Barbecue. And I've eaten so many tons of barbecue and Brunswick stew from Ralph's. I don't even know if they're still in business.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, I'm in my 50s, so that was probably 40 years ago, so they may not even be around anymore, but I was just wondering if they were on your map. So your goal is to raise this money by when? When is the target date?
Our deadline is March the 27th, so we have a few more weeks to go. We're about a third of the way through the Kickstarter campaign, and we've raised about a third of the funds just over that, so we're right on track right now.
Well, everybody who's out there listening, if you love barbecue and if you've ever been to North Carolina and couldn't find barbecue joints, this lady's got the way to do it. And go help her out on her Kickstarter project. You can find her there on Kickstarter or go to her Facebook page to get more information. We wish you the best of luck because I think it's a great idea, Amanda, and keep us posted on how it goes and good luck on getting all the money you need to make it a reality.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right. Thanks, Amanda. We appreciate it. And, guys, we're going to take another break here. And before we go, I'll check with my two sidekicks. Laurie, do you need to go, or are you going to be hanging tight here with us?
No, I want to hear some Sunblast.
Yeah, I'm not sure if she's going to be calling in. It looks like we may have our next guest, the garden lady. I want to find out here in a second.
Oh.
And Brian, I know you said you had to go. Are you leaving, or are you going to stick with
us? No, I'm still here.
You're still here.
I'm
all
still
right.
Here.
You got your posse.
All right. Well, you guys, hang on. I'm going to play. Let's see. You know what? I think I want to play a little of Nick Moss's music. Just Blog Talk Radio. It seems like it's about every time we have this show about noontime, everything falls apart. I'm trying to get to the music while I'm here talking away, and I guess, you know, we're having issues again. So. Oh, boy. Anyway, I was going to try to play Nick Moss. Let me see if I can do this real quick. Yes, it's working again. Nick Moss is going to be joining us. He's got that new album. He'll be coming on at 12:30 hour, and I'm going to play. Laurie, I'm going to play this. I'm going to dedicate this song to you if I can get it.
You are.
if I can get it to work.
So you
yeah.
see the bluebirds flying all around?
No, this is not a bluebird song. You'll laugh when you hear it. I won't even give you the name of it till we come back. So everybody hang tight. This is Nick Moss, and then we'll be back to talk to our next guest. Hang on. Be right back.
Don't leave them alive.
that was Nick Moss, and the song's called She Wants It. And, Laurie, I dedicate this to you because I know you miss me and you probably want it. And Brian, are you driving? Brian, are you driving?
No, I'm in my car because it was too hot outside, so I went inside and turned the air conditioning on.
Get out. It's not that warm. Is it really that warm?
Well, I could hear noise in the background. I thought he was riding on the road. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, we've got to bring on our next guest. Our next guest is into gardening. And as you can see on the promo here, if you're looking at your computer screen, her name is Ann Shelman. And she's got a website which is called Ann of Green Gardens. And Ann is joining us this morning, I believe. This is her. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Brilliant.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
We weren't sure if you were going to be on. We were debating it. Sunblessed and I this morning, and Sunblessed is very glad that you're on because I said, well, if Ann doesn't make it, then you're going to have to fill in. And Sunblessed's like,
oh, no, please, no. I apologize, but I am here.
Yay. Well, welcome to the show.
Yes.
I guess we're going to be talking about gardening, and I will tell you that I do not have a green thumb. In fact, I'm looking at five little plants that I have in the windowsill right here that are herbs that have pretty much seen their better days. So I hope that you can help me and our listeners improve upon our green thumb characteristics and make us better gardeners. And tell us a little bit about you and Ann of Green Gardens.
Sure. Well, the first thing I'll tell you is that my number one quote that I love to say is, if you've never killed a plant, you are not trying hard enough.
Well, I'm trying
so
real hard.
You're doing great. You're doing great because, you know, when I was about 19 years old was when I decided horticulture was my thing. I loved plants. I worked at a nursery, and I confessed to one of my coworkers that I'd killed a houseplant. And I was just like, you know, I'm really not sure I should be in this field. And that was what she said to me. So, yeah.
I guess it's a lot better to kill a houseplant if you're into gardening. If you're a surgeon, it's something you don't want to go around telling people about.
You know what? You're right. It's a good thing I that's a really good point. It's not like I killed a house cat, right? It's just a houseplant.
So tell our listeners about your website and a little bit about what you do on your website and your blog and about gardening
sure.
and how we all could be better gardeners.
Sure. Well, I have always loved gardening. I had a grandfather that was always planting things and growing food, so I was always into that. And a couple years ago, someone told me I should start a blog. And I think it was maybe like 5 years ago, and I said, what's a blog? Because I really had not heard of one. I didn't understand what's a blog, what's a website. So
it kind of sounds like a growth, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I have a website, and I do blog somewhat regularly. Right now I have not been because I am going to be at the San Francisco Flower and Garden Show in a little under 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I'm getting ready for that. And I know you asked about my Kickstarter?
No, actually I didn't, but go ahead and mention it because I didn't know you had a Kickstarter.
Sure. Well, I know your previous guest was talking about Kickstarter, and I did one, and that is how I printed my first book, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, really?
Called,
okay.
Yes, it's called Miniature Gardening.
Okay.
And it's all about making tiny gardens.
How in the world did you come up with a name like Miniature Gardening when it's all about tiny gardens?
It's all about tiny. You know, I wanted to call the book I Heart Tiny Gardens, and I wanted it to have a little heart.
Right.
Oh, I love
but,
that.
Wouldn't that have been cute? I got all
yes.
excited about it. But
yeah.
you can't because of, I guess, search engine optimization or something. I don't know. And the person that suggested it he thought I understood that because he's a web guy, and I didn't. But no,
oh,
so
well.
It's about it's miniature gardens, and
okay.
I was I've always been into plants and gardening, and I happened to go to a friend's house, and her entire backyard is a miniature garden on one side, and it's 20 feet by 40 feet long. And there are pictures of it in my book and also pictures of a couple other different gardens that you can make in little pots.
Now, I got to interrupt you for a second. How do you classify a miniature garden? Do you have to, like, use tiny hoes and little shovels, or is it based on certain size or what?
You do. Yes. And, you know, this is a really good start for people who are afraid to be gardeners. Maybe they don't want to, you know, plant too many things in their yard, and maybe they've killed some things. So this is a good way to say, okay, this is my garden. It's in this really small space. So say you start out in a pot, and miniature gardens kind of got their start with fairies, people that are really into fairies. And there are some people out there that do believe in them.
Sorry.
Yes, I know. That's my life.
Well, now, don't make fun of them. They might be listening.
I know.
And I don't mean just the people. I mean the fairies. No.
I know. It's scary. I don't even want to think about it because if I say negative things about fairies, I know I want to come zap me or something. So, yeah.
You don't want them to come after you.
Laurie's a big fairy believer.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well,
yep, fairy tales and everything. Yep.
Fairy tales. Yeah, so you create this garden, and whether it's in your landscape or in a pot, and you make sure your plants are tiny and that they're going to stay tiny. Or if they're going to grow bigger, you have to replace them. So, for example, there's different kinds of moss you could put in there, Scotch or Irish moss. You can put little tiny daisies, and then you could put little accessories in there. And then you just water it and keep it either, you know, on your porch where it's going to get, you know, a little bit of sunlight. And you water it, and, yeah, hopefully the fairies come.
Well, does these little miniature gardens, do they have those little creepy gnomes in them?
You don't like gnomes. You know, from what I understand, people either hate gnomes or they love them, and
I
just think they're
them.
Really cute.
They scare the bejesus out of me.
You know, that's how I feel about, like, marionette puppets, but I guess we all have our thing.
Some people have clowns, some people have puppets, some people have gnomes,
mm-hmm.
whatever. But so
mm-hmm.
now, this book, when did you publish this book? You said it was a Kickstarter project. How long ago was this?
It was, yes, the Kickstarter project was in October, and so I received my funding, and then I went through and worked with a book company, and then they sent the books, and I just got them this past month. And they are available for sale on my Store Envy. I don't know. Have you heard of Store Envy?
No,
you know, there's all
I've never
these new.
Envy.
Right. It's sort of like Amazon, but not. It's kind of a neat place to sell things because the idea is that the person selling was the creator of the object. So whether it was a craft or you know, a book or whatever it was, and then they can have their own storefront like I do, and I don't have to pay any rent, and I just have my storefront, and then Store Envy takes the percentage of the sale after I sell a book.
So if they want to find it, they go to storeenvy.com/something, or what's the address?
Right. Well, the easiest thing probably would be to go to storeenvy.com and then to search for me, Anne of Green Gardens. And, of course, not to forget that I have an E on the end of my name. I was named after Anne of Green Gables. So.
Oh, really?
That's right, yes. Yes,
back on your Kickstarter project, just curious, so how much did you end up raising so you could publish the book?
$2,000.
Wow. Now, is it,
yes,
like
is it
self-published? Is that how you did it?
Yes, I self-published. Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
I did.
Now, you have any more books lined up in the future?
Yes, I'm writing one right now on terrarium.
room.
I guess
like
I'm sticking with
like
the tiny
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened. Well, I was I talked to the San Francisco Flower and Garden Show, and they said, well, you know, could you do terrariums? And I thought, well, of course I can. And so then I thought, shoot, I better start writing a book about that. I do have some flyers and things I'm going to hand out, and I actually will be speaking at the Garden Show on Friday and Sunday at 2:45, and making some terrariums right there. So, yes.
Cool.
So, yes,
you are
right. I am really into small gardens right now.
You're into small gardens and little stuff. Are you into topiaries?
You know, I like topiaries. I do. But, you know, honestly, I really, my first love and the reason I got into gardening was vegetables. So I'm kind of off that track. Originally, I thought I'd write a book about tomatoes. And then I just happened to run into this miniature garden thing, and I thought, wow, this is cool. I can do a project and learn about something at the same time. And
well, wait a minute. That's a good question. Can you grow cherry tomatoes in a miniature garden?
Well, I think you would have to consider it like this rambling shrub in the corner of the garden because it'll probably be way too big.
Well, how about baby carrots? I don't know. I'm just,
you know what? No,
I'm just
that is that's brilliant. Baby carrots. There is a tiny baby carrot. I think you could do that. That would be cute. See? Now you can see that's the whole thing is you have to change the way you think. Because it's not just a pot that you put a bunch of plants in, because that's what I found when I got into this kind of craze, was that, wait a minute, I guess I thought that plant would work, but, oh, look, it's getting way too big. This isn't going to work. And everybody's all these little plants have to behave, you know, and stay small.
Right. Well, I don't know if our wine czar is still listening. Brian, you're still there, right?
I am here. Yeah.
Do you do any miniature gardening over there in Virginia?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out this whole concept of miniature gardening because you mentioned your friend's garden and, you know, it was like one side of the yard. So you're referring to all of the plants having to be miniature size. Okay.
It's not the size of the ship, it's the size of the plants, right?
Yeah. I mean we have a 12x10 vegetable garden in the back, but I certainly couldn't consider it miniature because, you know, we're growing okra and, you know, and whatnot, so, you know, they're big plants.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. Yes. So you have to decide your scale. And you pick a plant that's going to kind of set the stage. So, for example, there is a plant called lemon cypress, and it stays really small. And it looks like you're growing those Italian cypress, but on a really small scale. So you set your scale. So that's going to be your tall plant. And then you come in and you add some quote-unquote shrubs. And here's where you could add some herbs. So you could use thyme. You could use rosemary. And now these gardens, even though they're miniature, they take some work. They really do because not all of your plants are going to behave, and you're going to have to go in there and do a little bit of pruning. And so basically in my book what I talk about is, okay, these plants can be in a landscape. Here's your trees, your shrubs, your ground covers, and then in a pot, you can use a lot of those, but not all. And then that depends on the size of your pot. So what you'll end up doing if you get into this is you'll go, oh, you know, you'll buy a bunch of plants and go, wait a minute, that didn't work. You'll have to take it back. Unless you pick up my book, then you won't have to worry about it. The only thing is I am in California, so I am in USDA Zone 9B.
Yeah, there you
now,
go.
Now, Virginia, what do you know what zone you folks are in?
I thought 7, because my wife does most of the gardening. And, you know, we
seven
usually don't
perfect.
Buy anything you know, that's, past the 7 because of the climate.
Mm-hmm. And that's for my book. I recommend my book to folks in zone 7 and higher. And then you'll know probably by, well, a lot of the plants are fairly hardy, which means, you know, depending on how cold the temperatures are going to be, they can survive. But below a 7, you're going to have to be out there with a sheet or pulling your miniature garden inside, so you'll probably need to do a plot.
So the goal, the whole goal of the miniature is to keep it small. And
yes.
Everything. I'd like to do one. Laurie, we need to do one of these miniature gardens where I could be like Jack of the Beanstalk. It would be like a giant walking through the garden.
We have to have that.
Yep. That would look so cool. That would look so cool. You know, yeah, you could find a plant that, well, you know, you could grow, I guess, a beanstalk right in the middle of it if you wanted. And then you'd get your little miniature guy on the bottom, like he's climbing it, you know.
Exactly.
And,
Brian, you have
another
question.
And then you could stand. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Brian, I think Brian had one last question.
The little miniature guy is a gnome.
Yeah, don't talk about the gnomes again. I'm telling you, that creeps me out. Don't talk about the gnomes.
That would scare our host.
Well, Anne, we appreciate you joining us this morning. And everyone, check out, you can find her on Facebook, actually. And,
yes.
And that's probably the best place to start. I've got, and also you've got anneofgreengardens.com, which you can click on the link here on the show, and it'll take you right to her website. Go buy her book if you're into miniature gardening and if you want to grow little stuff. It takes a little work and a little trimming, but you can have yourself a little miniature garden. And Anne, we appreciate you joining us this morning, and come back and see us sometime next week.
Yes, thank you so much.
Right.
Definitely. Thank you. I've had a really good time.
Thanks. Take care. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be joined by our next guest, which is Nick Moss, the Nick Moss Band. And as I mentioned earlier, Nick is going to be coming out with his 10th CD. If you're into rhythm and blues, this is the guy. He also likes barbecue, so he's on my favorite list. So you guys hang tight. I'm going to play one of his songs. This is I Want the World to Know. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. And that was Nick Moss Band, I Want the World to Know, and Nick is going to be joining us here in a couple of seconds with talking about his new album, CD, Time Ain't Free, and I got to figure out who's calling on, who's on first and who's on second. I think, Nick, I'm going to press this button. I hope this is you. Good morning, Nick. Welcome to the show.
How you doing? You got me?
Hey, I got you. It's so weird. I didn't ask what your phone number is going to be calling in. I got several phone numbers lighting up here. Welcome back to the show. We love the new music, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
So you're coming out with your 10th CD, and it's a really good one, and I think it's being released, next week? Is it next week or the 8th? No, I'm sorry, the 18th.
The 18th, yeah, that's correct.
So you put this group of songs together. We had talked about it last time you were on. You had a Kickstarter project that you were working on, and you were able to put it all together and put it back into a CD this time. So tell us a little bit about this CD and what's new on this CD that may be different from some of the other CDs.
Well, the first thing that people will notice is that I'm only singing on about half of it, and one of the new band members, well, he's not new anymore. He's been with me for 3 years, but Michael Ledbetter, who's got an incredible voice, who you just heard on that last song singing, is singing on half the album. So that's new.
Okay.
That's the first time I've done any of my CDs where it wasn't just me singing. A little bit more collaboration or writing the songs with Michael and overall I think it's just a newer, fresher sound for me with the guys that I have in my band. I got a bunch of youngsters in the band now, so
got some young guys in there.
They kind of give me a kick. Yeah, they kind of give me a kickstart, man. I got to keep up with them.
Well, the album is called Time Ain't Free, and it's got some really great stuff. I had a chance to listen to it yesterday, and I got some of the promo stuff for the radio shows, and it's really, really some really good stuff. You folks are into rhythm and blues, and this is the man you need to go and check out his new CD, and I guess they can get it on the 18th, and they get it on places like Amazon and on your website.
Excuse me?
I said that they'd be able to get it on Amazon and on your website.
They should be able to find it on our website, Amazon, iTunes, all that good stuff.
All right. And by the way, his next website is nickmoss.com. We've got a link here on the show. All you have to do is.
Oh, I see you're slightly nudging me to say my website. I'm sorry. That's how good I am at self promoting.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to get you to kind of promote it, but that's okay. I'll do it for you. Nickmoss.com. You can find this album.
Yeah, man. I know it's noontime, but I had a late night last night, man. We played a long gig. I didn't get home till 5 in the morning, so.
I'm
still
I'm still
getting myself going right now. But, no, man. Well, I'm really happy that you guys like the record, man. And I hope that whoever, is out there listening, that they get a chance. I know you guys are out. Aren't you guys out in the D.C. area?
Yeah, we're actually in Maryland. I understand you've got a gig going on here for something on, March 27th in Bethesda, Maryland?
Yeah, we'll be in Bethesda. So, fans out there might want to come check us out.
Yes, definitely. Where is that going to be?
In Bethesda?
Yeah.
If you can give me a second... I gotta look that up myself.
I tell you what,
wake up.
I tell you what, you go look it up, and then I'm gonna play another one of your songs.
Info for you. You got it. I can say info for you right now.
Go find it. I'm gonna play one of the other songs here you sent to me, which is called "Was I Ever Heard?" And when we come back, and I want to talk about barbecue anyway when we come back. So find out about the Bethesda gig, and let's talk about barbecue when we come back. Everybody, hang tight. We'll be back here in just a couple
all
of
right. I got my instructions.
And that was Nick Moss Band, Was I Ever Heard? And we've got Nick Moss joining us this morning on the Green Ideas radio show. See, Nick, I played the long song, like the one that lasts 6 minutes, that you can take to that the snooze and get you back.
Well, I think everyone can rest easy. My lovely assistant has not handed me the information that we need. So,
okay.
I told you I'm not very good at self-promotion, so
that's quite all right.
And the information we were looking for is on the 27th, March 27th, the Mick Moss Band will be at Bethesda Jazz and Blues. So how easy was that?
All right. We're gonna check that out, Laurie. That's not that far away. It's about two hours from us.
Yeah, this will be my first time at this club, and I understand it's a really nice venue. I've heard some really good things about it. The guys, after they booked me, they've already had some other the acts on the roster play through there, and I guess everyone has said that they really enjoyed playing there. So,
well, now that you have your lovely assistant there with you, where else are you guys playing in March, April, and the next couple of months?
Boy, I knew you were going to tell me that. No, you're going to start with me after. We're going to be around the New England area. I know on the 29th, March 29th, we're going to have a great show in New York City at the Mercury Lounge.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that one turns out really well, man. You know, New York's a place that I love to play in. We don't get a chance to play in the city that often. I mean, we used to play at Terra Blues a lot in Greenwich Village. Smaller venue, but a great venue. And this is another new room for me, the Mercury Lounge. And looking forward to that show.
I tell you what, I'll make it easy for you. I bet we can find all this information on nickmoss.com if you want to find out where you're going to be. You probably have a schedule.
See, you're brilliant.
On the website. You're brilliant.
You're brilliant.
That makes it easy.
Yeah.
If you want to find out where Nick's going to be, just go look it up, and you can find out where he's going to be playing. All right, we got to talk about
barbecue.
We got to talk about barbecue. Last time you were on, and you said that barbecue is one of your favorite subjects. So I have to ask you, first of all, what is your favorite item to be grilling and barbecuing?
Brisket. I mean, I'm a brisket man. I mean, any place I go to, man, the brisket's the first thing I look at. If the brisket ain't right, I know I'm probably not going to enjoy much anything else on the menu.
Do you look for barbecue places when you're on the road?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, two of my dates on this upcoming tour are at Dinosaur Barbecue.
Oh, really?
You know. Oh, yeah, we play the Dinosaur Barbecues in New York. We do the Rochester, Syracuse. And I know they have many other locations, but those are the two main music rooms that they do live music in, and we play those quite often.
Well, they always say rhythm and blues and barbecue go together like peas and carrots, so it makes sense that you like barbecue. Do you do any grilling yourself?
Oh, yeah. Usually throughout the year, even in the snow, man, we do it. This year I had to cut back a little bit because of some health reasons, man, and I had to cut back on my meat intake, but things are going good right now, so, you know, I grill all kinds of stuff, man, you know, not just meat. I like to experiment and try different things out on the grill. My wife was just asking me the other day if we could do a pizza on the grill, and I haven't done that in a while, but I'm probably going to fire her up pretty soon, and we're going to do some pizzas out on the grill. So.
Well, you know, a way to a woman's heart is through the barbecue grill.
What? Oh, yeah. I believe you, man. I know that.
It's slow and low, just like love.
That's right, slow and low.
Well, anyway, Nick, I wanted to just thank you for joining us, and I want to tell everybody about your new CD, which is Time Ain't Free, and it's going to be available on March 18th. You can find it on Amazon and also nickmoss.com. It's got some great, great music on it, and I had a chance to listen to it, and if you get a chance to go check it out. Definitely go help Nick out and buy the new CD. And, Nick, you're always welcome to come back and join us anytime, any place. And I think we might try to check you out in Bethesda when you get over this way on March 27th.
That'd be great. Great, man. We're looking forward to that show. But, yeah, you guys can go to nickmoss.com, check out the tour schedule. I mean, got a lot of gigs in the area. I know we're going to be in Bethesda. We're going to be in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Collinsville, Connecticut, New York City. Got a lot of good shows. So anyone out in the New England area, come check us out in the next couple weeks.
Well, great. And tell you what, I got a great idea for you, a brilliant idea for you. When you hang up the phone, go take a nap because you can get until 5 o'clock in the morning, and we appreciate you coming to join us this morning.
Yeah. All right. The great city of Chicago towed my drummer's car, so we had to go find his car this morning.
Well, go get some rest. All right, dude. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you later. All right, everybody, check out his website, nickmoss.com. Like we were saying, you can find out where he's going to be. He's got really great music, and it's the kind of music you'll tap your foot to. And if you like rhythm and blues, it's a really cool CD. And on that note, we've got about 8 minutes, and I think our Winezar is still with us. And Winezar, I have to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever had the Black Box Shiraz?
I can't say I've ever actually drank it, but when I was in retail, I sold Black Box wines. I believe they're made by Blackstone.
Yes.
And it's a big California producer, but they're solid wines. You know, good everyday wines.
Well, you know me. I like Shiraz, and so I decided I was at the liquor store yesterday, and our neighbor buys the cab, which we have drunk a whole box one night, I believe, and it's about, 4.5 bottles in a box. So I bought the
Shiraz. It's a 3-liter. If it's a 3-liter, it's 4 bottles.
Okay, so 4 bottles, and I bought it with $21, and I'm telling you, it's good stuff. You know, people laugh when people buy wine in a box. I know wines are laughs, but it's a great deal. So if you happen to be out and about and you see Black Box Shiraz, 2011 is the date on this one. They had 2012 and 2010, but I guess the 2011 for, I don't know why, because 11 is my favorite number, Laurie. So anyway, it's an excellent wine. And before we go, Brian, I always let you do you have any wisdom in the wine world? Anything you would like to say before I cut your mic off?
Well, you'll probably do that when I start talking, so why should I bother? Spring is in the air. At least today, spring is in the air, and I can't wait for rosé season. I know it's probably not yours or Lori's cup of tea, but good fresh dry rosés. April 1st is, kind of the official start of rosé season, and I'm looking forward to tasting 2013s and see what's out there. But rosé is great. Actually, rosé is great for the grill because it's not white, it's not red, it's kind of right in between there.
Rosé is a little girly wine.
Girly wine. And hey, there's one other thing I want to say.
Yeah.
If you don't get outside today and enjoy some of this beautiful weather,
yes,
I'm going to stop calling you Mountain Man and I'm going to start calling you Caveman.
That's good.
Well, I'm like Nick Moss. I think I need to take a nap. But yes, thank you, Mr. Winezar, and have fun in Austria. I wonder if we can do a live broadcast from Austria while you're spinning around in the Sound of Music there and talking about wine. We have to figure out if we can do that.
Hey, you know what? One thing is the hills will be alive, but the czar's going to be very dead from all the wine tasting he's doing.
He'll be sleeping on the hills.
Well, thank you, Winezar, for joining us. And, Laurie, I'm going to ask you, do you have anything you'd like to add and say before I cut your mic off?
Well, I have to admit, I hope you guys didn't hear me chewing. My sister-in-law handed me this delicious turkey Swiss cheese, which I love, tomato mayo on nice toast sandwich, and I was chomping away while you guys were talking.
No, we didn't.
So.
Well, you know, actually, I did hear something, but I didn't know what it was, but then I saw you did so.
It was probably the sirens from the parking lot I'm standing in.
Yeah, I couldn't figure if it was at Nick Moss's place or your place, Brian. I know you guys are both living in a rough neighborhood, so I didn't know who had the sirens in the background. Well, I guess that's pretty much it. We're almost out of time, and thank you, everybody, for joining us again on another Grillion Ideas radio show where we never know what's going to happen, and we appreciate all of our guests. We talked about gardening. We talked about barbecue maps. We talked about blues and rhythm and blues and more barbecue. So next week, let me see. Where's my schedule? Who we got coming on next week? I should have this handy, but I don't. I never do.
I don't know what's going on next week.
That's the truth.
Oh,
well,
you need to play
another
song and go find it.
Yeah.
There you go. For a Big Green Egg advertisement.
Here it is. I found it. See, next week is the 15th. Oh, yeah. We've got a cookie guy coming on who's actually another Kickstarter guy I found on Kickstarter. He's got a new cookie. It's a lemonade cookie. He's coming on, and we got a cartoonist. I don't know how we talk about cartoons and drawings.
Are
but
you serious?
We got a cartoonist coming on. So I guess we're going to have visual effects, too. And then we've got Louis Bello. Louis was a past guest that we had technical difficulties and things happened. So we're going to try to get Louis Bello on again. And I think that's it. I'm trying to get this thing to work so I can play some music as we leave. And I'm going to play an old song, which is I haven't played in a long, long time, which is Smoke on the Water. Remember that, guys?
Of course. Remember that, Brian?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, have a great day, rest of the day, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take
Cheers.
Care. Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Laurie. We'll be talking to you guys later, everybody. Have a nice weekend. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye.